It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, February 8th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Lake City Board of Trustees fired the town manager at their regular meeting on Tuesday. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The contract with Leslie Kluesmeyer was terminated after a little more than 2 years in the position. This is Mayor Bruce Vierheller during the meeting.
All right, after much discussion, the board feels we're at a point of it's time to transition at this point. So I make a motion to terminate the contract with the town manager, Leslie Kluesmeyer, effective immediately.
The issue was an upcoming performance review, which also included a pay increase depending on performance. According to the Silver World, Kluesmeyer had demanded a mediator for the negotiations, something the board refused to budge on. After previous meetings and discussions, the Board of Trustees unanimously decided to terminate the contract.
It's a tough day in Lake City again.
Kluesmeyer was hired by the town in 2013, after more than a year of searching for a manager. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The U.S. Forest Service released the final environmental impact statement for SBDMR, the spruce beetle and sudden aspen decline management response, in a plan that's been in the works for more than 4 years. The final EIS is similar to the draft, but this version has a scaled-back scope. 207,000 acres will be looked at, and actual treatment won't exceed 120,000. It's a lot different from the 700,000 acres originally considered. Ann Janik with the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forest says that those 120,000 acres will be enough to treat their main focus, the dangerous trees and potential fuel.
So those areas are really encompassed in that 120,000 acres. We're looking at areas that have hazard trees that can blow over and block roads. The other thing we're looking at is trying to reduce fuels in areas that are adjacent to the public land and private land interface. So if there is a fire that should start from lightning, we want to protect the private land.
The treatments will include prescribed fire, selective thinning, and commercial harvest. After a nearly 11-hour hearing, Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee passed a bill early Friday morning allowing terminally ill patients to take medication to end their own lives. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Lawmakers heard from patients and people who'd lost loved ones about why the bill would ease pain and suffering at the end of life. House Judiciary Chairman Daniel Kagan says few things are crueler than facing imminent death, and he believes patients deserve a choice.
By saying, because of the society you live in, you cannot choose the manner of that death. To compound the cruelty. It's inhumane. It's terribly, terribly wrong.
Opponents, including Republican Representative Paul Lundeen of Monument, have moral objections and worry there aren't enough safeguards to protect patients.
The failure to defend innocent life is corrosive to society.
The committee did make several changes to the bill, including eliminating a requirement that physicians determine the cause of death to be the underlying illness. Some legislators felt that was dishonest because the life-ending medication should be the cause of death. The full House chamber will take up the bill next. I'm Benta Berklin at the State Capitol.
With the legalization of marijuana in various states and forms, conservation groups and others are asking how much legal grow operations affect water consumption. In Colorado, water managers and researchers are working together to answer that question. As part of Connecting the Drops, our statewide series on water issues, Maeve Conran reports.
So we're back here in the nursery. This is where the plants start.
Tim Cullen is CEO of the Colorado Harvest Company, one of the state's largest marijuana businesses. It employs more than 75 people at their three retail outlets in Denver and here at their grow facility.
The plants that we're looking at right now are all about 8 to 10 inches tall. They're juveniles. Behind me are plants in what we call cloners here.
This 10,000 square foot facility houses roughly 3,000 plants. In about 5 months, these plants Cullen is referring to will mature with golf ball-sized flower buds that retail for up to $300 an ounce. Plants here are grown in cocoa fiber rather than soil, a substance with no nutrient value. Cullen says that allows them to closely monitor all the nutrients going to the plant, all delivered through water.
We never let water run out of these plants. And if you look into these trays are designed to hold water in them. We don't want any water to run out of the bottoms of the plants because that's just wasted nutrient.
Practically every drop of water is accounted for in this grow facility. It's a practice that Jeff Terrell, manager of conservation for Denver Water, has observed in other operations.
I mean, I've been in a lot of industrial and commercial sites for audits, and I've never seen a place that's actually written down how much water, you know, has been used in an area before. That was new to me. That was kind of a best practice I think I'd like to see a lot of people using.
In the early days of legal marijuana cultivation in Colorado, Terrell and other water managers started to pay attention to how much water was being used.
We also saw the articles coming out, you know, Mother Jones, 6 gallons per plant per day. That kind of piqued our interest.
In 2014, California Fish and Wildlife officials started clamping down on illegal marijuana operations, which they said were using 6 to 8 gallons of water per plant per day, stressing drought-stricken watersheds. But in Denver, Terrell says he did not see growers using anywhere near that amount.
I can definitely tell that 6 gallons that Mother Jones said, that was way more than what I ever saw. I would have really noticed that in some of these grow operations with several thousand plants in them.
However, due to the nascent nature of the industry and the ongoing federal prohibition of marijuana, little official research has been done into exactly how much water cannabis plants use. That limits options for shared best practices across the industry. James Zizanis is president of ZJ Analytics LLC. That's an agricultural research company in Maryland. He is partnering with another marijuana grow facility in Denver to monitor water use with the goal of creating guidelines for the industry. Using soil moisture sensors, they monitor in real time how much water the plants are using. While no results are available yet, Zizanis says what he's seen at different grow facilities in Denver is encouraging.
These guys are the leaders in using the newest technology. They want to understand how plants work on a scientific level, and they're really championing conservation.
When you're talking about the number of plants that we're dealing with, this isn't like filling a pitcher up at your sink and going and watering your house plants.
Back at the Colorado Harvest Company, Tim Cullen says he too was eager to see research into conservation techniques.
Our nutrient bills are close to $10,000 to $12,000 a month. So we're not wasting that water once it has nutrient in it. It really needs to stay in the plant.
And as the marijuana industry continues to grow and evolve, Denver Water says they'll be looking to Zizanis' findings to help inform them of best practices. For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.